Well, good morning, everybody. I'm your fill-in preacher today. It's good to have you with us. It's been a while. It's been like 6 weeks. Somebody said to me the other day, this has been a great series. And I went, I've only talked one time out of 6 weeks. And that, by the way, brings me much pleasure to hear that. We've got a good teaching team here at Greater Alton. Thank God for that. So over the last 6 weeks, we have been looking at the tiny things that make huge impact around us. They make a big difference. Things like our faith being small as a mustard seed. We've also looked at the small acts of service, how important. Just a simple small, a cup of water is what Jesus would talk about. A simple cup of water, the difference it makes. Or the influence in life, like yeast working its way through dough. All these powerful things, and even the power of a small group, how we all need a small group as we walk with Christ. It's good to have friends and a network of people, and it makes a huge impact. We've been looking at all these things that are so small, yet they're so powerful. And today I want to look at this idea of a little child, what the Bible talks about when it mentions that. You know, Jesus, some of his biggest lessons... Some of his biggest lessons he taught using little things. And one of them is this idea of a little child. Look at this passage here in your notes if you want to follow along or up here on the screen. In Matthew 18, it says, at the time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Luke records it this way. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When they saw this, they rebuked him, but Jesus called the children to him and said, let the little children come to me and don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of the childlike. That's one of the citizens in the kingdom of God are those that have that childlike spirit, that childlike attitude. And Jesus is very clear here. He says, you don't enter my kingdom, you don't stay in my kingdom, and you don't grow in my kingdom unless you're going to be like this little child. I wonder how old this child is. Is he or she, what, 18, 16, 17, 12, 10? I get the impression this is a small child, maybe between the ages of 3 and 4. And the thing I noticed is that you might think to yourself, wait a second, is Jesus condoning childish behavior? Because I know a lot of 3 and 4 year olds. The Greek word is brat. I mean, no, it's not. But am I right? You know, we're getting ready to, camp is coming up, and I've got the little ones. I direct the little ones. I love that week. You know, 7 to about 10 or 11 year olds. And in the handbook I put together, I've got at the top, childish behavior it'll test you. You know, it's very tough, it's annoying. Most children have childish behavior, so you better get yourself ready for it. Well, so is Jesus talking about childish behavior? Why, of course not. I mean, aren't we supposed to grow and mature? Of course we're to grow and mature. And even the Apostle Paul said this, you know, he talked about one time when he was a child, he acted like a child, talked like a child, but when he became a man, he put those childish ways behind him, of course. But it's not childish behavior that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a childish attitude. He's talking about this attitude in the heart. And see, the key to becoming greater, because he's answering this question, The key to growing and being greater in God's kingdom is becoming like a little child. Having this attitude of a little child. We're going to be talking about little children today. I've got 7 grandkids, so I got lots of stories. Man, I tell you, I learn a lot from these guys. Look at what Peter says. He was there. He watched Jesus pull this child. It's believed it could have been one of Peter's kids that he pulls in front of everybody to look at. And so, you know, he was there, and look how he understands it. You should want to learn about God more and more. New babies always want their mother's milk, which makes them grow strong. God's true message is like good food that will make you strong in your spirits. Then you'll continue to grow as believers. Now, I got to say something. I've been around long enough now, and I know a lot of adults and a lot of seasoned Christians that, they've lost their childhood. They've forgotten how to be a child again. They've been so busy trying to grow up and be mature that, they're just not that mature in their childhood. In fact, I know a lot of, and I'm going to say again, those of us who have this gray hair, you know, that we've been around a while, I can't stand senior citizens, but I are one, so I have to. But church, I'm going to tell you, I've met a lot of seasoned Christians that still act like babies. And they have that childish behavior. They get offended over a song, get offended over a word. They get offended over somebody doing something, and they get mad, and they don't want to speak to. And you know anybody like that? Don't look at them. Do you know anybody? They may be looking at you. Don't look. I've seen a lot of that happen. Why? Because in their effort to grow and what they think is maturity, they've gotten these things like pride and independence. And Jesus never wanted us to outgrow our dependence on Him or outgrow this childlike attitude. In fact, He holds it up for us in this small child and says, I want you to be like this. I want you to be just like this. In Matthew 18, look at the International Children's Bible. It says it again like this. He said, the truth is you must change your thinking and become like little children. If you don't do this, you will never enter God's kingdom. He's saying unless you change, unless you turn, unless you work on becoming, we're so busy. You know, when I was a kid, I used to, maybe you remember this. I can't wait till I grow up. I want to grow up. I want to grow up. And Jesus says, I want you to grow, but I want you to grow young, younger and younger and younger. Because it's this childlikeness, this little child's example. I know you can think of exceptions, but what we're going through today, I've seen this more in little children than I do in adults. I want you to have this childlikeness. Look at this kid, and he's just standing there. Maybe he's picking his nose. Maybe he's looking around. I want you to be like that. And they're going, really? You want us to be like that? Yes. You can't get in my kingdom because to be a citizen, you have to be childlike. And I believe that if I lose my childhood, the childhood in me, that childlikeness in me, I'm never going to grow. Not to become the mature Christian example of Jesus Christ. I see this, by the way, you notice this when you see older Christians still have that spark in their eye. They still have that curiosity. They're still excited about Jesus. Why is that? Because as they've grown, they've always held on to that childlike spirit inside. And I want to say to you this morning, maybe you've lost your childhood somehow in your effort to grow up. You know, I was reading a little bit this morning, and this dad was talking about his kids. One of his little boys walked up and says, I'm older than you. I'm 6 million years old. And he goes, what? Yeah, I've got a... He had a cardboard box. I've got a time machine, and I went back into... I'm 6 million years old. And his dad says, man, if I could have had a time machine, I'd just like to go back to 6 years old because I loved being six. And church, there's nothing wrong with longing to be six in the kingdom of God. Jesus says it's good. You want to keep that childlikeness always with you. Never outgrow it. And maybe you've outgrown it. Maybe you've grown cynical and skeptical and you've grown hardened to some things. Maybe some arrogance has grown and some independence. Like, I don't need anybody's help. And you're thinking that's what Jesus wants you to do. I want to remind you that there's some things He doesn't ever want you to outgrow. And it's the spirit and the heart of a child. And if you've lost it, He says, turn. Turn to your childhood. It's waiting for you. So what kind of childish qualities does Jesus want me to have? You know, what are we talking about? And well, it can be summed up in one word, and that's humility. If you look at the passages we've just read, He's talking about that lowly place of childhood, that lowly spirit. It's the humility in a child. And that's what He calls us to. And I think many of you, I think you've already got your notes filled out, so you can relax, you don't have to write. You can listen. But here's the things I notice about a child in the scriptures, and I believe just an observation in life with 7 grandkids, that I believe that Jesus, when He says, I want you to have this quality, this humility of a child, this is what He's talking about. Number one, it's a childlike humility that recognizes and respects authority. Just imagine, here's this picture it in your mind. Here's Jesus, 33-year-old man. And here comes a three or four-year-old standing beside Him. Just the contrast in their size is enough to boggle. I remember when I was 4 years old, I was out at my great-grandpa's saint's house. His saint was short for Saint Ledger. He stood 6'2". Here I am, 4 years old, and I'm standing in the kitchen of the old farmhouse I grew up in, and he calls me Charlie Brown. That's what he used to nickname me. He called me Charlie Brown. And he'd look at me, and it looked like Goliath. He looked like 10 feet tall. Such a difference. I knew who was in charge. I knew immediately who was stronger. And I knew who knew what he was doing. And I knew I should obey this man, or I could get a whooping. And he could get it done. And that's what a child early on notices the difference. That's why they pretend to be. But in reality, they know, I'm not big yet. I can't wait to grow up and be big. And it's interesting that when a child is afraid, whenever they're afraid, and I notice this, they don't yell for aunts or uncles. They yell for who? Mommy or daddy. And by the way, and some of us, we never outgrow that. You get a little car trouble, you're not dialing 911, you're dialing DAD. Dad, I got car trouble again. What's going on? I don't know. I just quit working. It went. I'll be right there. Good. Dad'll take care of it. We know that. Why? Because we know that parents, mom, dad, they have authority. They know some. They're bigger than us. They know more than us. As kids, they know what's best, and they know how to help. And even Jesus. Even Jesus, in His most critical hour, tapped into His childlikeness at Gethsemane. Look what He says here. His inner child calls out, Abba Father, He says in Mark 14. Abba Father. What's that mean? It means Father, dear Father, or Daddy. It's an affectionate term. And look what He says. You can do all things. How many kids on the playground are always saying, my dad can beat up your dad, or my dad can do anything. He can build anything, fix anything. And Jesus is looking to His Father, His Heavenly Father, and says, you can do all things. And He says, don't make me drink from this cup. I know you have authority. I know what you're asking me to do. Is there any way to get out of this? And then what does He say? It's like this, he just resolves in His mind, but do what you want, not what I want. The Son of God appeals not to His old man, but His dear Father that He dearly loves. And He says, I know you control everything. I recognize that. I'm your Son. You're the Father. And God calls you His children, even though you're adults, grandparents. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Parents, rich, poor, doesn't matter. He calls us children even though we're in our 40s, 50s, 30s, 60s, 70s, 90s, whatever. He still calls us His children for good reason. Because when I compare myself to Almighty God, well, the size, there's no comparison. He's so much bigger, so much more powerful, so much wiser, has so many more answers, and he has more answers than I have questions. And you and I just shrink in his greatness when you stop and think about it. And so when Jesus calls us to be like a child, he's calling us to recognize the authority and respect and recognize the authority of the God we serve, our Heavenly Father, who can do all things. Look what it says here in Romans 8. The Spirit that we have makes us children of God. And that Spirit, with that Spirit we say, Abba, dear Father, dear Father. We say Abba, we say Daddy. You've got it all figured out. You hold it all. And so Jesus holds, that's the first thing I notice. He holds this child up, this small child, to remind you and I, if you're going to come to your Father, come to your Heavenly Father, respect and recognize who He is. Number two, it's a childlike humility that's honest with myself. I don't know about you, but kids are truthful, brutal sometimes. I've had my grandkids go, man, Grandpa, your breath stinks. Now, many of you have noticed it, but you've never said it to me. Why? Because you've grown up. You've learned to be tactful. You've learned to lie. You've learned to look the other way. Now, kids, your hair. What's wrong? Last week, we're all sitting around at Mr. Poncho's eating, and one of the relatives is sitting at the table, and one of my grandkids goes, your hair, why do you wear your hair like that? And I wanted to stop and go, everybody was thinking the same thing. They have no filter. They just say it, whatever's on their mind. They're brutal sometimes. They're honest. And it comes from this innocence and this humility that these kids have. They don't know better. Or maybe they do. You know, Naomi, 3 years old. She's leaned up against the door and says, hey, Papa, what? I'm pooping my pants. Like she's proud of it. Thought you ought to know. And I go, well, I really don't want to know this, Nene. Well, it's happening right now. And I'm doing it. And I'm like, okay. And you know what's funny about this is here she is 3 years old and she's okay with it. She's okay with telling me. She'll tell anybody. Isn't that something? Just that honest. And she's comfortable. You talk about, you know, what is it when you play cards with kids? You know, adults, they got the cards close. Kids have got them on the floor. They got them on the floor. They got them on the table. They got them backwards. Why? I'm supposed to hide this? They're just not that way. They turn over all the cards. You ever notice that about them? And Jesus says, man, I'd like for you to be just honest with yourself. Admit. Be honest. See yourself the way I see you. And warts and all, it's okay. Sometimes you poop your pants. It's okay. Look at this in Romans 12. It starts off saying, don't think that you're better than you really are. Then it says, be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. And James says it this way, admit your faults to one another. Let me ask you, is it hard for you to be honest about you? Do you find yourself not turning over all the cards because you're afraid? That is immature. A child is more mature. What are you going to do to me? You know, I got my video camera back when they were this big. Remember when they were huge? And I'm videotaping Nathan. Nathan's having his birthday party, and he's kind of like doing this, you know, and there's this cake right there. And all of a sudden, a hand out off camera grabs his cake and goes up. And I swing the camera over, and there's Matthew. He's got chocolate all around his lips going. Now, and I asked him before, I said, did you take his candy? I don't know what you're talking about. Did you take his candy? Maybe. Perhaps. He'd say, perhaps. And I said, let's roll the film. And he goes, well, I guess I did. And I thought, you know, and how many times have you had a child just say, who did this, who did this? And they tell you the truth and you're going, thank God they're telling me the truth. I don't have to go through the, you know, the Gestapo Nazi routine of, you know, where were you, where were you? No, the small children are just, they can admit. Oh, if we could just, and they're comfortable with that in their own skin. They're okay with telling you their reality. Oh, we could just get that way. Jesus says, admit your faults. We need honesty in the kingdom of God. Integrity in the kingdom of God. Number three, he calls us to a childlike humility that depends on God. The Bible says, depend on the Lord and trust him and he'll take care of you. You know, small children can't take care of themselves. I know that maybe I didn't need to say that, but they really can't, right? They're always getting themselves into stuff. They could get hurt, or they need to be changed, or they need to have food, or, you know, they need to be protected. They have all these things that they just aren't able to do by themselves yet. They don't know how to take care of themselves. You know, my 3-year-old granddaughter depends on others. I watched her yesterday. I watched Naomi at this wedding we were doing. And she's just sitting there and they're getting her plate for her and she's just playing. No worries. Why? Because she depends on, mom will take care of me. Dad will take care of me. So she can relax. Can you relax? Where do we learn to get so uptight? My feelings, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm just talking by faith right now. My feelings get me all uptight. My faith calms me down. I'll get all excited about something, get all worked up about something, and I realize that's all my feelings. But when I start thinking about what does God want me to do, and I start depending on God, because there's some things I cannot do without God's help. You can't do. You can do some things. And what is it about maturity? We think, well, you know, the goal is to be independent and have no need of help. Where did that come from? That didn't come from the Bible. It came from America, folks. The I can in America. And this morning, I want you to know, Jesus encourages us to go, you know, just depend on, by faith, I'm going to depend on God. And you know what? When you do that, you're going to worry a whole lot less. I guarantee it. And you're going to have a lot more fun living on this planet. See, I don't have all the answers. I have more to learn. There's some things that are impossible for me to do. I cannot get from this planet to heaven without God's awesome grace, awesome power, without his wisdom, without his guidance. It says here in Romans 8, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. They depend on God. I don't know what to do this week. I don't know what to do this situation. I don't know how to handle this conflict. I don't know if I'll like what you've got to say, but it'll be the best way to handle it. What do I do, Lord? I'll let you lead me through this. I'll tell you what, when you approach Jesus Christ, you approach your Lord with that childlike dependence on God, he'll take care of you. He will take care of you. I was asking you, how old are you when it comes to depending on God? How old have you become? Are you 5 and 6 years old? I can tie my shoe myself. I know what I'm doing. I'm not saying maybe you're a teenager. And you've got that age where I think I know what I'm doing. Or maybe you're a college student. Oh, I know what I'm doing. Or now you've had kids, you're going, I have no clue what I'm doing. You know, whatever stage you're in. How old are you when it comes to attitude? Jesus says, oh, I'd love to see you at 3 and 4. That's the best age to be when it comes to trusting me and depending on me. Here's another one, number 4. He calls us to a childlike humility that trusts and obeys. If you notice that the very first passage says Jesus called a little child, and notice what it says, and he came to him. He obeyed. I watched Ross, my next to the youngest, my grandson, and I watched him doing something. Denise goes, pick that up. He drops something, pick it up. And he's looking at Denise, looking at Gigi going, pick it up. And he picks it up and I'm thinking, Yeah, but he didn't do it right away. He picked it up. He obeyed. Got to give some people time, you know. They got to work it out. And he picks it up, and I'm going, what? And I said, Ross, what an obedient child you are. You're a good grandson. It brings pleasure to Papa. It brings pleasure to God when we just trust him and obey him. I can see Jesus going, come here. Because a 3 or 4 year old's going to, come here. Stand right there. And then he starts bragging on him. And you know that kid's going, just eating it up. Because he's the perfect example of someone who trusts and obeys God. What is it about these little kids? They do it to me all the time. Scares me to death. They'll jump expecting me to catch them. I'm dropping stuff. What are you doing? Whee! You crazy? No, I trust you, Papa. You're going to catch me. And what do? I catch them. And that's how little kids are. They trust. They know. They know down deep inside that they're going to be caught. And so Jesus is making it clear here, you know, that trust the Lord. Trust the Lord like this little child. You know, why is it that we have to train children not to trust everyone? Stranger danger. Why do we have to do that? Because they're born with this trusting attitude. And I do think we have to educate our children to be careful, of course. But there's nothing to fear God over. That's someone we should trust. Look at the Bible says here in Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord completely. Do not think that you understand things well enough for yourself. That's what a child realizes. I don't know everything. So I'm going to trust. And as children in the kingdom of God, church, let me urge you, let Jesus urge you this morning. Don't get hung up on the why, but just remember who is asking you to do what he's asking you to do. It's Jesus asking. He don't need to give us an explanation. He's done enough to prove that he loves us and he'll take care of us. It says here in 1 Peter, obey God because you are his children. Number 5, Jesus, when he holds his child up, he says, I'm calling you to a Christ-like humility that learns, that's a learner, that's a student. You know, children are curious animals. Have you noticed that? They are so curious. The cicadas right now. You know, I remember we'd go around the golf cart, and if we found 5 cicada shells, we thought we had hit the jackpot. There are thousands of them. They're walking out there going, oh! And there's that sound, and it sounds like something from Mars, you know. Scary. They're just eating it up. And I've sent them pictures of them coming out of their skin. It looks gross. The parents are going, gross. The kids are going, cool. Right now, Matt and Brian's and their family with Kevin and Ashley are out in South Dakota, and they show us pictures. Look, Kevin caught a snake. What are you doing, Kevin, catching a snake and showing it to the kids? Look at this. Oh, wow. They don't go, ah, wow, that's cool. Catching crawdads or crayfish. They're finding all kinds of things to do out in the wilderness, and they're enjoying it. Kids are curious cats. They're little sponges. They pick up on words. They pick up on habits. How many times have you been in a conversation grown up and one of your kids or a grandkid goes, what are you talking about? You mean you're listening? We were gossiping. They heard me go, nothing. It's nothing. Well, why'd you say that about so-and-so? It's nothing. It's nothing. When I was a kid, Art Linkletter had a show called Kids Say the Darndest Things. And all he would do is hold the mic to him and say, what did your parents tell you not to tell me? Blah, 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 blah. They'd tell, I just say everything. But they were curious little guys. We're sitting again at Mr. Poncho's. And here's my grandkids all around. My mom's there. Uncle Danny or Danny's there, and Nene's right next to Danny, and Danny goes, so where's your mommy? And Nene goes, and points at Nicole. Where's your daddy's mommy? Points at Gigi. Where's Papa's mommy? Points at my mom. GGG. And he goes, that's my mommy. And Naomi goes, that's not your mommy, that's Papa's mommy. No, no, that's my mommy. No, it's not. Who's your mommy? Who's your dad's mommy? And that's my mommy. No, he's not. That's not your mommy. I don't think you understand. And you could see her wheels. It's like, how can this be? Trying to work it out. And goes, okay, you see your sisters? Yeah. And who's their mommy? Is that your mommy? Yeah. Okay. Now, look at this. Uncle Matt and your daddy, who's their mommy? Gigi. Well, me and Danny are brothers. That makes Gigi G our mom. And she goes, what? And finally she sees it, goes, and then she looks at Danny and goes, I just love you, Uncle Danny. And he just melts. And I go, I said, thank you for not teaching her to burp, you know, rather than something that she could use. Because uncles do that, by the way. But it's just, they love to learn. They haven't learned yet to have pride get in the way and filter through what they hear. They want to learn more and more and more. See, that's what we learn the most of the stuff we learn, that we process all the other information we learn through life, we've learned in the first 5 years of our lives. Then it goes through that filter and that process when we hear something new. That's so important. That's why we have a kids ministry that's trying to, and we encourage our Christian families with small children, teach them early. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's older, he will not depart from them. It's so important. But see, that's what humility does. A child's humility wants and welcomes what Jesus teaches. They get it because they're humble. Look what Jesus says here in Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. I praise you because you have hidden these things from the people who are wise and smart. But catch this. But you have shown them to those who are like little children. See, again, maturity is not about having all the answers. It's continuing to ask all the questions. Mike Denius said this the other day. He goes, I got to thinking, I don't ask as many questions as I used to. And it dawned on me, I don't know if I do either. Kids ask lots of questions. Why? What are you doing? We're sitting there getting served at this banquet yesterday, and a little kid walks in, and there's this guy slicing prime rib, and she goes, why is he wearing gloves? And everybody busts out laughing. They have all these questions. I remember one time I had Mike Nappers tell me about his youngest son. He says, does God make everything, Daddy? He goes, God has made everything, son. You can count on that. Why did God make boogers? I said, I got to hear the answer to this one, man. Kids ask, they ask, you think they're silly questions. It's a question, and there's no silly questions. For a child, there's no silly questions. Meyer was saying, are you going to die? He asked me that one time. I go, what are you talking about? Every kid goes through this. Well, our bird died. I saw a dead rabbit on the road. We went to great grandpa's funeral. Are you going to die, grandpa? Well, yeah, someday. I'm not planning on it today or this afternoon. And he goes, am I going to die? We ask these questions. What's going to happen after I die? Never outgrow the questions, church. Never outgrow the questions. Are you asking more questions or less questions? Because, see, children are learners, and I can never outgrow this. Look what the Bible says here. Lord, teach me your ways. Guide me to do what is right. David said that. He goes on to say in Psalms 119, every verse is about the Word of God. All 100, is it 150-some? Verses, that's a lot of verses. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Every verse is about the Word of God. And one of these says it like this. He says this over and over again in this chapter. God, teach me lessons for living so I can stay the course. Give me insight so I can do what you tell me. My whole life long, obedient response. He says, I'm going to do this my whole life. I'm going to let you teach me. My whole life I'm going to learn. I want to be a learner, and I'm going to obey what you have to say. If there's anybody that I've been more impressed with than ever in my lifetime about somebody who's a lifelong learner, it's Bob Hawkins. This man, I don't know if you know this or not, but He just gave me another book. He's always given me books. And one time he told me, you know, Tim, some people think that they get old enough they don't have to read anymore. Bob doesn't believe that. He's still a kid. Still curious. Still trying to figure it out. What about this? What about that? Still got questions. And he handed me this book called Male and Female. It's about gender. What's the Bible talk about? How does it handle gender in the Bible? Excellent book I've read so far. And one time he told me, he says, you know, Tim, he handed me this book because now, Tim, this might be a little difficult book. I had to have a dictionary with me the entire time looking up the words. This man, how many of us would even bother? Oh, this is too hard a book. Close it. He's going, I'm tackling it. I'll get my, what's that word mean? Oh. And he worked hours going through a chapter just to get to learn something. I want to ask you, church, are you still asking questions? And how many questions are you asking? Because Jesus calls us to this humility of a child. You want to enter the kingdom? You want to grow in the kingdom? Be great in the kingdom of God? It comes down to this humility that wants to learn. And last of all, Jesus calls us to a childlike humility that loves others like Jesus. When it comes to relationships, boy, kids, just watch them. That's what I'm looking forward to at church camp this year. Watch these kids. You put them in a room full of strangers, and it isn't very long till they've got a playmate, a new playmate, new pal, new friend. They know how to make friends. And even they can get into it and seconds later be playing again together. They don't see color. They don't see gender. They don't see a rival. They see a new friend. They see somebody that's like them. And they identify with them. And like I say, by chance they argue, and I've got 7 grandkids, so you can imagine how loud it gets sometimes. They can argue, but then all of a sudden, they forgive and forget and move on. Well, there's a lesson we could learn, huh? Lesson I could learn about relationships. Jesus was, when he's teaching this, John is sitting there amongst the disciples. He's in that crowd watching this object lesson. And it must have resonated with him because he keeps coming back to loving each other in his books. And here in 1 John, look what it says. He says this to the believers, see how much the Father has loved us. His love is so great that we're called God's children. And so in fact we are. He starts off this book, or he starts talking about this in chapter 3. Talking just how much we're loved and we're children because of God. And then by verse 10 and verse 18, look what he says. Here's a clear difference between God's children and the devil's children. Those who do not do what is right or do not love others are not God's children. 2 things he says you can count on. Do you do what God wants and do you love others? That's a child of God. You don't do what God wants. You don't love other people. You're not one of his children. Then he says in verse 18, little children, let's stop just saying we love each other. Let's really love them and show it by our actions. And that's what kids do. And that's what Jesus encourages you and I this morning to do. These little children teach us some big lessons. Next time you see a child, next time you're somewhere or you're with family and you watch these little children interact or watch how they work around and watch what they talk about, watch how they respond to things. Look for these traits. Look for that humility. You're going to find it. You're going to find it, church. It takes humility. Listen, it takes humility to love other people like Jesus Christ. And so I think to Jesus this morning in this lesson of small things, the power is found when I turn from my adultness and become a child again. And tap into that inner child. That I turn from the pride that we've learned. Or the habit of keeping score. Or responding with anger or bitterness. That we set them aside. We turn from those. And like a little child. A little boy, a little girl inside. We get caught up in the size and the awe and the wonder of God and look and go, wow, he's so big, so massive, and he loves me, and he's so wise. And realize that we need our Heavenly Father. like our little child needs their mommy and dad, that we listen and trust His voice, that we're eager to obey, and we become the kind of child who doesn't see the offender. We don't see the stranger. We don't see the one that wronged me, but we see someone in God's family that we're to love. There's a card in your bulletin, and if you'd like to respond to this lesson in some way, maybe a prayer request or a comment, you're going to get a chance to do that. I hope this morning you've learned something about something big from something small. God bless you as we begin nearing the end of this series on the power of small things. We're going to give you a chance to fill that card out as we sing a song, and then we'll have another song to close out our services, and you can drop those cards in the basket as well as your regular contribution. Let's pray together and we'll be done. Father, thank you for the many blessings, Father, that you give us. And Father, thank you for children that are all around us. They're little reminders of the big things you're after in us, that you want us to have. And oh God, we pray you give us the humility of a child. Father, I just think, I know for many of us here, you know, we want to grow up. Help us to grow young and grow small before you, to have this heart that sees that our need for you, that trusts you, that depends on you, that loves the rest of your children and your kingdom, because we know the kingdom is the kingdom of childlike. And Father, we pray for that heart. We pray for that spirit, that we never lose sight of it. We never lose it. We never outgrow it. Almost like Peter Pan, we just will not outgrow our love and our dependence on you. Help us see that we're your children, that you love us very much, and help us obey you and be good kids in your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I need you more, more than yesterday. I need you more, more than words can say. I need you more. I need you.